Iranians across the country pay tribute to General Soleimani on the third anniversary of his assassination by the U.S. Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi has praised the late Lieutenant General Soleimani as a symbol of resistance and fight against terrorism and global arrogance. Israeli forces raid a refugee camp in the occupied West Bank city of Bethlehem, killing a Palestinian teenager. Top story, people gathering in the southeastern Iranian city of Kerman to pay tribute to late commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani 3 years after his assassination by Washington. Kerman is where the general's body was laid to rest and is hosting a special ceremony to honor his memory. Rallies and ceremonies for the anti-terror icon are also being held nationwide. General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, the deputy head of Iraq's popular mobilization forces, were targeted in a U.S. drone strike near the Baghdad International Airport in 2020. Now, back then, a U.N. Special Rapporteur on extrajudicial killings condemned the strike as a violation of international law. Iran has called the assassination state terrorism and has vowed to take revenge on the masterminds and perpetrators of the drone strike in due course. The Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi has praised Lieutenant General Soleimani as a symbol of resistance and fight against terrorism and global arrogance. Raisi was addressing a huge crowd that gathered in capital Tehran to commemorate the third assassination anniversary of the general. He said that the anti-terror icon exposed the myth that the United States is an invincible power. The president underlined that remembering General Soleimani sends a message of hope to freedom seekers around the world. Raisi called Soleimani a unifying force for the Iranian society, adding that the slain general is dear to millions of people globally. The president stressed that Iran will never forget the assassination of the iconic figure and will definitely take revenge on those involved in the killing. Earlier, we were joined by journalist and political commentator Said Mohsen Abbas, and he says that Iran has been under maximum pressure since the victory of the Islamic Revolution, because it refuses to accept the U.S. and Zionist oppression of the West Asia region.
Iran has sacrificed an extraordinary amount to have the ire of the Israelis and the Americans has meant sacrifice, not only in terms of the first Gulf War, which I would describe as Saddam's invasion of Iran, but then it continued, that kind of, the maximum pressure we see today from the Americans in terms of economic pressure, in military encirclement, aggravation and provocation at every stage, cultural invasions through sort of psychological operations, media war on Iran. If you see all of the other paraphernalia, the latest being, of course, the riots that we've seen over the last few months, all of this is instigated because primarily Iran is not accepting the global arrogance, as Ayatollah Khamenei puts it, and their oppression of the region. I think Haji Soleimani actually shines a light on the hypocrisy of the Western powers in his martyrdom, the way it was carried out by the Americans, the extrajudicial killing, which even the UN Special Rapporteur for extrajudicial killings, essentially an arbitrary execution, she said it's a violation of international law and a violation of the Americans' own domestic law. It was a straight-up act of state terrorism.
On the third anniversary of the martyrdom of Iran's top General Soleimani, both public and private institutions are holding special ceremonies in his honor. Iran's Minister of Foreign Affairs, together with the judiciary, are following up legal proceedings to bring the perpetrators of the assassination to justice. Gisu Misha Ahmadi has more.
Forging a new Middle East with the rise of the Axis of Resistance, a legacy that transcends generations. And now, the third martyrdom anniversary of Iran's top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, has prompted the Foreign Ministry of Iran to hold a special commemoration ceremony in his honor, and the foreign minister did not mince his words regarding the assassination.
Based on legal and international standards, the American regime bears definite international responsibility for this crime. Therefore, all the agents, instigators, perpetrators, and leaders of the terrorist crime assassinating our top commander must be brought to justice. With the help of the judiciary and also the government of Iraq, we have started legal proceedings, and a special committee has been set up to follow up the case.
Words that were also echoed in a statement released by the Iranian Foreign Ministry, according to which some 60 American officials in connection with the assassination have been blacklisted by the Islamic Republic.
He was a shining star in Iran's diplomacy because Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani's endeavors nullified the United States policies, including establishing a government in the region. So, one can say his main job was the empowerment of Iran's foreign policy. He also warned the enemies of the Islamic Republic to be mindful of their actions.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani is the man who got the ball rolling, significantly transforming the geopolitical landscape of the region in a way that even his assassination by the U.S. led only to greater Iranian regional influence and augmented the strength and prestige of what is known as the Axis of Resistance.
While Iran is moving forward with the legal procedures and cooperation with the government of Iraq, the third martyrdom anniversary of the top Iranian commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, is an opportunity to take a closer look at his legacy.
An artistic event in the capital, Tehran, dubbed Soldier's Narrative, brought together bands and music groups from across Iran to sing in the honor of the martyred commander. Sponsored by the Rudaki Cultural Foundation, the best lyrics and performances received awards in the name of the Commander of the Hearts, referring to Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who was able to connect with all generations.
We should introduce this character to the world by using the great capacities of cultural events. General Soleimani stood up for resistance against arrogant powers, and he is the best role model for the younger generation.
The unveiling ceremony of the martyr's autobiography, I Was Not Afraid of Anything, can be considered the most significant event these days, allowing Iran's Generation Z to connect with the values that Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani stood up for. Gizumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
In other news, Israeli forces have killed yet another teenager during a raid in the occupied West Bank. Adam Ayad was fatally shot in a refugee camp in Bethlehem, and that a day after Israeli troops killed two young Palestinians in a similar raid on a village near the West Bank city of Jenin. During a Monday attack, they also destroyed the homes of two slain Palestinians who were involved in an operation that led to the killing of an Israeli officer in September. The regime forces conduct raids across the occupied territories almost on a daily basis. At least 170 Palestinians have been killed in the attacks since January last year. The Palestinian Prime Minister has roundly slammed Israel for storming Al-Aqsa Mosque during a visit by the regime's far-right minister to the compound, urging the Palestinians to confront such violations.
We call on our people to confront such incursions that aim to turn Al-Aqsa Mosque into a Jewish temple. This is a violation of all international norms, values, agreements, laws, and Israel's pledges to the American president.
Addressing his cabinet, Shetai held Israel responsible for the consequences of its latest action in the occupied Al-Quds. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry has also called the visit an unprecedented provocation, warning that storming the mosque risks escalation. Hamas's movement denounced the visit as well. It warned that raiding the holy compound is in line with Israel's malicious acts against sacred places. Israeli Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir visited the mosque under the protection of troops early on Tuesday. He reportedly had the green light from the regime's prime minister for his deprecating act. The Humanity Eye Center for Rights and Development in Yemen says that they have compiled reports, statistics, and hard evidence that proved that the Saud-led coalition committed war crimes on a massive scale in the year 2022. Yusuf Mara has the latest.
While the world celebrates the start of a new year with festivities and a display of fireworks, Yemen ushers in the new year with fireworks from artillery shelling by the Saudi-led coalition. In just the first hours of 2023, Saudi Arabia carried out a series of artillery shelling in northern Yemen close to Saudi borders. According to the reports, at least 18 innocents were injured in the latest attacks. This comes after a year of bloodshed, according to the Humanity Eye Center for Rights and Development. In their latest report for the year 2022, the center revealed statistics of war crimes committed by the Saudi-led coalition. According to the report, over 3,000 Yemenis were killed and injured in 2022. Humanity Eye Center statistic and research analyst Gais Jamal reports that these crimes occurred near the Saudi border during a ceasefire.
In the year 2022, most of the crimes were committed on residents living in bordering districts with Saudi Arabia, despite the announcement of a ceasefire. The only thing that stopped was the airstrikes. However, Saudi rockets and artillery shelling continued. There was no ceasefire in the districts near the Saudi border. From the first day the ceasefire was announced, the attacks continued until this day.
Saudi Arabia and its coalition also attacked airports, Yemeni ports, and almost 15,000 homes, livestock farms, and communication stations in 2020, according to the report. Humanity Eye says it has all the evidence to prove that Saudi-led coalition committed war crimes on a mass scale.
We have met with French rights groups and presented to them reports with evidence that expose how Saudi Arabia and its allies and European states played a direct role in supporting Saudi Arabia with weapons that were used to commit war crimes on Yemenis. We presented all necessary evidence to this French rights group, and they have filed a case in court against Mohammed bin Salman and bin Zayed for the war crimes committed. This case is currently pending.
The European legal system is unlikely to bring any Saudi or UAE official to justice, which is why Yemenis want justice now.
We are calling on our government to take tough military actions against the aggressors. They are occupying our lands, destroying our homes, and killing us, and we will not remain silent for much longer. We are a free Yemeni nation with a great civilization. We have the right to defend ourselves.
The Yemeni people are suffering from the blockade and the oppression being spearheaded by Saudi Arabia. Therefore, we call on the Yemeni government to take decisive actions now to lift the blockade and end the suffering of the people.
As the conflict enters a new year, tensions are steadily rising on all active battlefronts in Yemen between Saudi-led forces and the Yemeni army. If a peaceful resolution is not reached soon, an all-out war is likely to ensue.
Pressure is beginning to mount on the Yemeni government to end the blockade imposed by the Saudi-led coalition as millions of Yemenis continue to suffer. Yemenis we spoke with are calling on the Ansarullah movement to end the siege now by any means necessary. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
Syria condemns Israel's recent missile strike on the Damascus airport, calling it a violation of international law. The Syrian Foreign Ministry urged the UN Security Council to condemn the aggression immediately and punish the Israeli regime. The ministry added that the attack in the early hours of Monday left two military personnel dead and two others wounded. The strike put the airport briefly out of service over material damage. This is the second time, less than 7 months, that Damascus International Airport has been targeted by Israeli missiles. The regime frequently performs air raids in Syria that Damascus says are aimed at propping up terrorists. A new poll has highlighted the dire economic conditions in the UK amid a deepening cost of living crisis. The survey by Citizens Advice reveals that nearly 40% of UK adults find it difficult or impossible to cover even a £20 increase to their monthly outgoings. The charity said that people were increasingly resorting to desperate measures to get by, such as eating only cold meals. The study also showed that a third of the people have had to use their savings during the past 3 months. almost 3 in 10 people saying that they are losing sleep because they're worried about their finances. The UK is witnessing a tightening squeeze on incomes as it's been hit by soaring energy costs and inflation. Now, speaking of the UK, railway workers there have started a 5-day strike demanding higher wages amid a cost of living crisis.
The government have contacted us late last night saying that they want to hold some talks next week, but from a period from December the 15th when I last met the government, they've done nothing. They did nothing in the intervening period. We gave them 3 weeks' notice ahead of this wave of action. They took no measures to broker a deal or to get a settlement, which is really disappointing for us, and I'm sure it's disappointing for the public as well. But the government holds the key to this, and they're not willing to use it at the moment.
The Network Rail warned of major disruption, calling on people to travel only if necessary, as transportation services will be significantly reduced. Railway employees demand a pay rise proportionate to the country's soaring inflation, currently running at nearly 11%. Other transport sectors are also planning walkouts this week. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has, however, pledged to fight calls for inflation-busting rises, insisting the government must stick to more modest pay hikes for public sector workers. Britons are witnessing a tightening squeeze on their incomes due to the decades-high inflation. The European Parliament is set to waive the immunity of two of its members accused of corruption. The Parliament's presence as a move is based on a request by the Belgian judicial authorities. The two MEPs are said to be Belgian and Italian. They're accused of receiving money from World Cup hosts Qatar to influence European Parliament decisions on the country. Investigations continue into what has been described as one of the biggest graft corruption scandals to hit the EU. The case has already seen ousted European Parliament Vice President Eva Kaili remanded in custody. That's all for this newscast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
School of Soleimani. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of the unmanned general Qasem Soleimani, whose very name would send shivers to the hearts of terrorists and their masters everywhere in the world. 3 years after the martyrdom of the great commander of the resistance front, and in fact the symbol of this front, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, his name and fame have spread all across the planet more than ever before. He was the great man who feared nothing, This is why the people of the region and the world know him for his courage and valor. As for the last part of this five-part series, we're going to discuss his unique role in thwarting schemes that had been planned by the United States and the Zionist regime of Israel and their accomplices among the Arab world, particularly the regime in Saudi Arabia. Please stay with us. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said in a speech, "Some people make a mistake to raise realism against idealism. They think that realism is the opposite of idealism, but this is a big mistake. When a person, an establishment, and a nation, with their officials, persist on ideals and do not agree to come short and work for them, realities will change towards ideals. This is the greatest reality and the law of life." Martyr Qasem Soleimani was a realistic idealist. He enjoyed abundant natural potential to turn his lofty ideals and goals into operational plans. In a part of Ayah 249 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran, the Almighty says, "How many a small party has overcome a larger party by Allah's will?" Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani put this verse into practice in his own life. For years, it was said that the Zionist regime was the fourth military power in terms of strategy and tactics. It was propagated all over the world, especially among the regional nations, and the illegitimate regime is absolutely invincible. But the great commander of the resistance front, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, first challenged this lie through strengthening the resistance units in Lebanon and Palestine, and then he showed that this was simply a big lie with the help of these forces. Today, the Israeli terrorist military is facing a group of people who have been inspired by the thoughts of the Holy Defense era of the 1980s and strongly believe in the divine promises. The sound of annihilation of the Zionist regime can be heard in the streets of occupied Palestine. Qasem Soleimani was described as a nightmare for the Israeli regime, the most powerful general of the Middle East and the architect of Iran's strong strategy. These epithets imply the preeminent role played in West Asia by Qasem Soleimani. American officials, both military and non-military, had asked to meet with General Soleimani several times, but he had rejected all such requests. Martyr Soleimani even didn't answer a letter sent to him by John Kerry, the US Secretary of State at the time, begging to meet him. This while he would meet with many senior officials of various countries like Russia. Qasem Soleimani was not a diplomat, but his statements during the meetings with officials of various countries would affect regional plans. He believed that Americans needed the photos of meetings as a tool for propaganda more than negotiations. He maintained that Americans are not honest even in war, and they would betray those who are with them in the same front. This has been done several times in their dealings with Pakistani and Iraqi officials. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani knew the enemy well and was quite aware of its intrigues. He was of the opinion that the United States has a multivalent policy. Hence, when it fails on the ground, it tries to push the rival back in another one. Soleimani said that decisiveness is the only answer to the US plots in this region. Therefore, the messages that Russians conveyed to Americans on his behalf were always decisive and unequivocal. when the former U.S. President Donald Trump started threatening Iran while ranting in a speech. Qasem Soleimani, in one of his speeches in 2018, reminded him of U.S.'s disgraceful presence in Afghanistan, Iraq and Yemen. In fact, he mentioned the reasons for his hostility with the United States. Addressing the U.S. president, Mata Soleimani said, "As a soldier of this nation, I answer you. Are you threatening us with a measure that has been unprecedented in the world? Ask the military commanders, the American politicians, the heads of American security organizations, the KGB and the CIA, and do not utter what you do not know. Have you left anything undone that you could have done?" Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, referring to the United States attacking and occupying Afghanistan, continued in his speech addressing former U.S. President Donald Trump. Lieutenant General Soleimani said, "You came with 110,000 soldiers and thousands of tanks, armored personnel carriers and advanced military facilities, attacked a weakly equipped organization, the Taliban, which had preliminary weapons and attacked Afghanistan. You didn't refrain from committing any crimes. You turned weddings into mourning ceremonies. You razed whole villages to the ground. More than 60% of your killings have been ordinary Afghans. What on earth have you done since 2001 that you said whoever is not with us is against us? Till now, 2018. Aren't you beseeching Taliban now for peace and talks? Is it not true that you put Pakistan and the government of Afghanistan under pressure for peace talks? What on earth have you done vis-a-vis the Taliban, which is only a part of Afghanistan, that you are now threatening us? The United States was defeated in Iraq as well. The U.S. regional commander had sent a representative to meet with Lieutenant General Soleimani. They had asked the great commander, "Can you give us respite and use your influence so that our soldiers may not be attacked by the Iraqi Mujahideen in order for us to exit Iraq?" Haj Qasem Soleimani reminded Donald Trump of this in his speech and continued, "Have you forgotten that you would prepare adult diapers for your soldiers inside tanks? Are you threatening our country? And why are you threatening us? On what grounds? Is there any crime left that you have not committed? You have committed the most horrible crimes in Iraq. You broke into the homes of people and smashed women and children. The events which took place in Abu Ghraib prison is a disgrace and a blemish on the United States forever. Are you threatening the Iranian nation?" At the end of his speech, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani forthrightly told Donald Trump and whoever is thinking about attacking Iran, he said, "There is no need for the Iranian armed forces. I am your rival. The Quds force is your rival. Know that we do not sleep any night without thinking of you. I tell you, Donald Trump, the gambler, know that we are near you, where you never think of. We are beside you, where you can never imagine. We are the nation of martyrdom. We are the nation of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. We have passed through hard events. Come, we are waiting for you. We are the men of this field. We know that this war means annihilation of all your facilities. You will start this war, but it is we who will end it." We'll be right back.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I talked about a saying from our ninth Imam, Imam Muhammad Taqi alayhi salatu wasalam, where Imam said that in order for a task to be successful, you need as-sihha, health, wal-ghina, wealth, wal-ilm, knowledge, and the fourth one was wat-tawfiq. Tawfiq means that help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you in the right direction for what you would like to do. And I emphasize on this point, especially relating it to this custom that we have among Muslims, that whenever we intend to do something, we say, inshallah. This has to be said seriously, not as a joke, not as a way of, you know, pushing this aside that maybe or maybe not. And it has to do with this idea of human endeavor and the role of Allah in his or her success. Because this is where we have to realize you can have the best of health, you could have all the resources financially, you could have all the knowledge and, you know-how how to do what you want to do, but the results are not guaranteed. It's not in your hands. And that is where the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in. And I mentioned that there is a very beautiful story in the Quran about this issue of saying, inshallah. And I wanted to share that today, keeping in mind that it's kind of a long story in Surah Kahf, Surah number 18. And so I'm not going through the Arabic wordings of that story. I'll just go directly to the story. Just the preamble. Before the story, in the same surah, ayat number 23-24, actually Allah talks about this issue of saying, inshallah. He says, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. Do not ever say that I'm going to do this tomorrow. You know, we just say, I'll do this tomorrow. Allah says, do not say it in this way. إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Add the words. If Allah wills that to happen. And if you forgot it, you know, then pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he may guide you in the right path in what you are trying to do. So even later on, if you forgot to say, inshallah, that I'll do this tomorrow, inshallah, seriously, you can still add that later on when you remember that, oh, I said this, but I had this plan, but I didn't say inshallah. Now, later on in that surah, coming to ayat number 32 onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet that, O Muhammad, give them, you know, mathalan. Mathal means parable, a story of two men. And there, it's a very beautiful scenery. Sometimes when I talk about this story to, madrasa children of higher grades, I would suggest them to make a drawing of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of those two individuals, I gave him, you know, two gardens of grapes, surrounded those two gardens with palm trees. So just, you know, go through your imagination there. And between the two gardens, Allah says, I had even crop plantation in between. And right in middle there, you know, there was also a river. And so, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these gardens yielded their fruits on time and never failed in anything. And then, you know, this person, of course, he had this wealth, but he became arrogant, the one who was given all this. And so one day while he was having a conversation with his friend, and later on the ayat, you know, refers to it, this his friend was poor compared to him. And when he was talking to his friend, walking into the garden, he says, I am greater than you in wealth. And, you know, I am greater even in manpower. I have more children, more grandchildren, more servants, you know, who work for me. And he entered his garden while he was unjust to himself. What does this issue of being unjust to ourselves mean? It means doing things that we put ourselves in a situation which is sinful. So we are not hurting anyone. Rather, by doing these things, we actually are unjust to ourselves. So he entered the garden while he was unjust to himself, and he said to his fellow, I do not think that this garden will ever perish. And I do not think, now, he was so sure about what he has. You know, as they say, you know, this is the result of my hard work or my sweat and this and that. His arrogance reached to a point where he says to his friend that I do not think that the hour of resurrection and judgment will ever come. This all talk about, you know, akhirah and this and that. This is what it is. This is the reality. You know, this is what I have here. But the arrogance is such that he says, even if there is a resurrection and I am returned to my Lord, surely I will find a resting place better than this garden. Look at the audacity here. Number one, not even believing in the resurrection and qiyamah and judgment. And then he says, even if it is there, my situation there will be better than here. So his companion basically then says to him, and these are ayat of Quran, have you disbelieved in him who has created you from the dust and from a drop of sperm? And then he shaped you into a, you know, adult. Basically saying that, you know, have you forgotten who gave you the existence, your physical strength, your intelligence to exploit the land, the earth, and the animals that they are there? All this that you have, this is all from the intelligence and power that Allah has given to you, and even the permission to exploit this earth and the blessings which are there. As for me, you know, you think I'm poor, but I believe in my Lord, and I do not associate anyone with my Lord. This statement is very interesting of his friend. He says, I don't associate anyone with my Lord. It means total reliance on myself. Minus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind of a hidden form of shirk. As if I'm believing, yeah, he's there, but I'm there. Whatever is happening is, you know, I have almost equal role in bringing all this to existence. And so then his friend says to him, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ, when you entered the garden, قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, why did you not say gratefully that Allah wills, and there is no power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareem Adi Ali حالي حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور صل على محمد وآل محمد.
المؤمنين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The U.S. energy giant ExxonMobil is suing the European Union in a bid to stop its new windfall tax on oil firms. A windfall tax is imposed on firms that benefited from something they were not responsible for. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. CNBC has covered this story and tells us more. U.S. oil major ExxonMobil is suing the European Union in a bid to force it to scrap the bloc's new windfall tax on oil groups, arguing Brussels exceeded its legal authority by imposing the levy. Record profits this year by oil companies benefiting from high energy prices have boosted inflation around the world and led to fresh calls to further tax the sector. The windfall profits tax is counterproductive, discourages investments, and undermines investor confidence, ExxonMobil spokesperson Casey Norton said on Wednesday, 28th of December. ExxonMobil will factor in the new tax as it considers future multi-billion euro investments in Europe's energy supply and transition, he said. Casey Norton added, "Whether we invest here primarily depends on how attractive and globally competitive Europe will be." The Financial Times was first to report the lawsuit on Wednesday, 28th of December. Windfall profit taxes imposed by Europe could cost at least $2 billion through to the end of 2023, the chief financial officer, Catherine Michels, said in a call to analysts on 8th of December. ExxonMobil said it invested $3 billion in the past decade in refinery projects in Europe. The projects are helping it deliver more energy products at a time when Europe struggles to reduce its imports from Russia, the company said. The ExxonMobil spokesman, Norton, added, "We will continue to work with EU leaders to address these issues. Thoughtful policy is critical." Chevron Corporation had also warned that taxing oil production would serve only to reduce energy supply by discouraging company investments. "That goes against the intent of increasing suppliers and making energy more affordable," Chevron's chief financial officer, Pierre Breber, told Reuters news agency back in October. Website Politico has also covered the same story. U.S. oil giant ExxonMobil has challenged the European Commission's proposal to levy excess profits from European Union-based oil and gas firms at the General Court of the European Union, the company said on Wednesday, 28th of December. The lawsuit, filed through subsidiaries in Germany and the Netherlands, argues that the measure is a tax, which is a right reserved for national governments, and contests the use of the EU Treaty's Article 122, an emergency procedure that excludes the European Parliament to enact the legislation. Under EU's Treaty Article 122, the European Commission initiates a legislative proposal, but it is the Council that adopts the measure by a qualified majority vote of EU member countries. Our affiliates, ExxonMobil Producing Netherlands BV and Mobil Erdgas Erdol GmbH, are suing the European Council in a bid to annul a new windfall tax on oil and gas companies, said ExxonMobil spokesman Casey Norton in Texas on Wednesday, 28th of December. EU countries back in September passed an emergency package of legislation aimed at tackling soaring energy prices. It included a temporary minimum 33% tax, dubbed a solidarity contribution, on profits of fossil fuel and refinery companies that exceeded a four-year historical average by 20%. The relevant profits could be from fiscal years 2022 or 2023, depending on the country. This litigation is driven by our concern about the unintended long-term effects of this policy on the competitiveness of European industry, the spokesman said. This tax will undermine investor confidence, discourage investment, and increase reliance on imported energy and fuel products. The lawsuit does not prevent the legislation from taking effect, and without any time limits on the court to decide the case, it could be years before a judgment is pronounced. The legislative package at issue also includes taxes dubbed revenue limits for electricity generators and financial relief for certain retail consumers. The European Commission maintains that the measures in question are fully compliant with EU law. According to Arianna Podesta, a European Commission spokesperson. In an email, Arianna Podesta added that the measure aims to ensure the whole energy sector pays its fair share in these difficult times for many to address the extraordinary energy crisis resulting from the weaponization of energy supply. The Commission estimates the temporary measure could bring in up to €25 billion to be redistributed by member countries. We recognize that the energy crisis in Europe is weighing heavily on families and businesses throughout Europe, and we've been working to increase energy supplies to Europe, ExxonMobil spokesman Norton said. Norton added, our challenge is targeted only at the counterproductive windfall profit tax and not any other elements of the package to reduce energy prices. The case concerns one of the first instances of the European Union's use of the emergency Article 122 for energy legislation, potentially making it a test case. The windfall tax will not remedy any shortage of energy supply and cannot realistically achieve a timely impact, so the European Commission and the European Council were wrong to use exceptional powers under Article 122 to speed its approval, Norton added. EU countries have also used the emergency procedure to mandate minimum natural gas storage levels, cuts in winter electricity and gas use, the joint purchasing of gas supplies, and a maximum cap on wholesale natural gas prices within the European bloc. The Reuters news agency has also covered the same story. US oil major ExxonMobil is suing the European Union in a bid to force it to scrap the bloc's new windfall tax on oil groups, arguing Brussels exceeded its legal authority by imposing the levy. Record profits this year by oil companies benefiting from high energy prices have boosted inflation around the world and led to fresh calls to further tax the sector. The windfall profits tax is counterproductive, discourages investments and undermines investor confidence, ExxonMobil spokesperson Casey Norton said on Wednesday, 28th of December. ExxonMobil will factor in the tax as it considers future multi-billion euro investments in Europe's energy supply and transition, he added. The European Commission has said it has taken note of the lawsuit. It will be now up to the General Court of the European Union to rule on this case. The Commission maintains that the measures in question are fully compliant with EU law, Commission spokeswoman Arianna Podesta said in a statement on Thursday, 29th of December. Windfall profit taxes imposed by Europe could cost at least $2 billion through the end of 2023, according to the chief financial officer, Catherine Michels, in a statement to analysts on 8th of December.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
A few strive in the cause of God, victory will definitely follow. The following is a part of the speech delivered on June 28, 2022, by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the head of the judiciary branch and a number of top officials and employees of the judiciary. There are four or five cases where God says the divine traditions are immutable. This is because the divine laws are perfect laws. God is not family with anyone. To say that we are Muslims, we are Shia, and we are the Islamic Republic, so we can do whatever we want, is not right. We are no different from anyone else. If we put ourselves in the situation of those first kind of traditions, the result will be that. If we put ourselves in the situation of these second kind of traditions, the result will be this. This is definite. In the year 1981, in the face of all these events and all these severe attacks, we were able to stand on our own feet and frustrate the enemy. And we were able to do this today too. God in the year 22 is the same God He was in 1981. God is the same in times of difficulty and at all times. And all the divine traditions remain in place. Let us try to put ourselves in the situation of the divine traditions for progress.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Now let's talk about the issues relating to the judiciary. Mr. Mohseni Ejayi presented a good report. Let me mention some of these points that I wrote down. He told us in his report that this and that has been done. I would like to say this again. The judiciary is like the other executive branches because one of the fundamental pillars in the country is the judiciary. Not just in our country, this is true everywhere. Your successes and failures are both doomed to the rulings of the divine traditions, and they affect the whole country. This holy verse from chapter Hajj clarifies the duty of all of us. Those who, if it granted them power in the land, will maintain the prayer, give the zakat, and enjoin good and forbid evil. Chapter 22, verse 41. Keeping up prayers means offering prayers. This verse says that a divine Islamic government should increase worshipping, attention to God, and attention to spirituality among the people. The offering of prayers is for this purpose.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.